thankful for the prayer. I ask each of you just continue to pray. If you have your Bible and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We'll begin reading right at verse 1. Probably read the entire chapter. 24 verses here. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Hope this sounds somewhat familiar to you, because we just read it last Sunday, or parts of it last Sunday, as we made an effort to speak on this particular passage. And I know that you have read these passages many times before. The writings of the Bible are so full of the wisdom and the knowledge of God that we will never be able to exhaust them in a lifetime of study or our efforts to preach them. Never, as some people talk about preaching them out, never do that. Today, even if I'm richly blessed of the Lord, I won't begin to scratch the surface of the depth of the knowledge that is in one single verse, much less the passages that the verses we've read in your hearing this morning. We know that we are God's children because of his love for us, and what a great love that is. A love that's everlasting, unconditional, and eternal, that you cannot be separated from. that you not did not do anything to get into, nor can you do anything to get out of that love. That our relationship with the Lord is secure in His choice of us and the work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in redeeming all the Father had given Him, and the finished work of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in adopting us in the new birth. We're born, adopted into the family of God, and we're His children. There's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the Lord. That's very important to remember as you're reading this passage of Scripture, because like a puzzle where you cut the piece to make it fit, if you take this passage out of context and try to force it into the picture without understanding it in light of other passages of Scripture, you can come away with a whole lot of misunderstanding. It's not because the Bible isn't clear, but men's interpretation, mine included from time to time, and others certainly. From time to time, we have our minds clouded and we get something out of context and try to force fit something in place. I just pray the Lord will bless me today and us together, that we won't get the scissors out and try to cut it and put it in place. But if we don't understand it, we'll just leave that piece out for now, and we won't force it in place and wait till we have better light. Pray that the Lord will bless us to see it and understand it better, that it'll be in the proper place. But I also am so thankful the Lord, as we study His Word, allows us the liberty and the light to rightly divide His Word of truth, and He allows us to see the whole picture and get a broader picture and a clearer picture. And we do that through the study of God's Word and growing and learning in the Bible. We know that the Scripture here, and I want to begin with verse 3 today, the Lord being our helper. He says, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Now the hope that we have, how precious that is. I pray that you have a hope in your life today, a hope of being His, a hope of belonging to the Lord, of hope of being one for whom He died, a hope of being with Him in glory one day. Because of what He has done for us. Not what we did for Him, but what He did for us. And as we look at the evidence of His work in our lives, our hope increases and it grows, and we feel more assured. And we get to where at times we seem so sure of it, we could say, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day." And that, as Job said in the Old Testament, but there are times that we also may feel down and discouraged, and we could get very where we're prone to wander. "Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And am I His or am I not?" And this passage is of great benefit to us, as well as all of the Bible, in helping us feel more assured of that finished work of God and more sure about our own relationship with the Lord. I do want to say this from the outset. Your relationship with the Lord is not going to change. Isn't that good? Your relationship with the Lord, your kinship to Him, you being His child and He being your Father, is not ever going to change. There's no doctrine you can believe or not believe that will change that. There's no action on your part that you can take or not take that will change that. There's not anything that can affect your relationship with your Heavenly Father, who knew you in covenant before the very foundation of the world, chose you before the foundation of the world, sent His Son into this world to save you, and He did that, redeemed you, washed you in His own blood, and you are His child. You belong to Him through the work of the Holy Spirit, being born of His Spirit. Not you're asking the Spirit to come, but the Spirit coming to you when you, by your own nature, and me, by my own nature, would have never had anything to do with Him. And that is a finished work that nothing I say or do, or you say or do, will ever add to or take from, because it's the work of God. I just want us today to have more fellowship with the One whom we have relationship with. You see, your relationship's eternal. It's secure. You're His child because you've always been His child. You belong to Him. in covenant when he loved you with an everlasting love? I don't understand all about a God who abides and lives in eternity. He inhabiteth eternity, the scripture says. My mind can't begin to fathom how big and mighty and powerful Almighty God is. The heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. We'd be foolish to think we can confine him to this building or any building, because he made the heavens and the earth. And the heavens that we know about is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. How big is our God? Oh, brethren, I want you to know he's big enough to love those he saw fit to love, and to save those whom he loved, and have them with him forever in heaven and immortal glory, and nothing can affect your fellowship, your relationship. Now, your fellowship and your communion with him through disobedience and rebellion and us walking contrary to what he would have us to do can be affected. Not that he doesn't love you, but he loves you enough to chasten you and correct you and to bring you back on track when you're off track. And I'm thankful for that as well. Sometimes it isn't pleasant. Chastisement. I can remember a time when I was growing up that I said, oh good, Daddy, I get to go to the woodshed and you're going to get to apply that thing that's going to help me so much. I don't remember a time where, you know, I don't know any children that like timeouts. I didn't have too many timeouts. My timeout was, yeah, you get timeout behind the woodshed and you were glad when the time was over. And you got back from that. And there was good, no abuse, love distributed, a correction and chastisement that was needed and was necessary and was beneficial. But at the time, I'm telling you, if I could have avoided it, I would have. If I could have lied, which I did sometimes to get out of, by nature, I would do that because I didn't like it for the moment. But I think back over it fondly. My grandmama really loved me. She proved it about every day. She loved me by hugging me, but she loved me by also applying what was needed in a way of correction. She had to do it. She had 7 kids she was watching. You had to keep some order going on there. We'd overrun the place and tore it down completely. The Lord is a loving father. You know, parents may apply a little more than they should be. The Lord never does. Parents may miss correction, but the Lord never does. The Lord deals with his children. You are going to deal with him. You're going to have to do with him. You have a father who loves you so much that he's called you out of this world and he's put his life in you and caused you to live. You are his child, you are his son, you are his daughter, and you're going to, and I am going to, we need to respond to him and listen to him, and it'll be much more beneficial and pleasant for us walking in this old troubled world in fellowship with him and communion with him. Makes every day better. Matter of fact, it makes it worth living. Makes life, it not only makes it livable, the Bible says he came that we might have life and have it how? Just barely scratching through? No. Just putting in time? No. You came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundantly. There are rich promises and blessings given to God's little children, both natural and spiritual. Natural enough, if it's a need you have, God will supply it. And spiritual, he'll fill you up where you can incline yourself in fatness and lean back and feed on the fellowship of the Lord you have every day in the midst of sorrow and heartache and problems and trouble in this old world. He's the rock that you can build your life on that will stand up in the storms of this world. And you and I, who have relationship with him that'll never change, sometimes walk as if we have no fellowship with him, not because he's forgotten us. Listen, his eye is always upon us. There's not a sparrow that falls without the Lord, much less his children going along in this world without the Lord. Sometimes you feel like you don't have him. Sometimes you're not aware that you have him. Sometimes you forget about him. But just because you've forgotten about him doesn't mean by any means he's ever forgotten about you. Matter of fact, he's always known. Forgetting is something humans do. It isn't what God does. Jesus knows. That hymn says, Jesus knows. And oh, how thankful we ought to be that he does. He says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. You have that hope? Then it ought to affect how we live. As a matter of fact, he works in you. If you're not openly and making an effort to try to live and act and walk in a way to please Him, He will correct you as His child. You're not going to get by without doing it. How much better it is for us to, in our hearts and in our minds, try the best we can to learn from His Word and have our minds transformed, not being conformed to this world. I was talking this morning to my mom, and I thought, how things that used to bother me so much, I kind of don't gloss over anymore. Even though you look at the world and you wonder how the world got in such a shape, sometimes I wonder how that world, and I think about how that world has affected me. How that world has affected my thinking. Maybe not so much in my actions, but in my thoughts. Things that I at one time wouldn't hesitate to say. Sometimes now I second guess myself and wonder, should I say that or not? Even though I know where the Scripture stands, and even though I know what God has said about it, and I desire in my heart to be more firm on it. I'm just being honest today. There are some times that when I should speak up, I know I'm just way too quiet. And if I am speaking up, it's almost at a times apologizing when we should never have to apologize for our Heavenly Father, should we? Because listen, he is always right. And when the world is not in line with Him, the world is wrong. And when we are in line with Him, we're not the world we can conform to. If you're not careful, you'll conform to it. If you turn it on all the time and listen to it all the time and feed on it all the time and hear it all the time and you don't get away from it and turn it off and sit down and have your minds transformed by renewing them in God's Word, the next thing you know, what you used to think was so bad doesn't seem so bad anymore. What you used to think was just something horrible, you go like, well, that's not so bad. Listen, if God has said it's wrong, it's still going to be wrong, no matter how many people line up and say it's right. And in this land and nation, we've got a lot of things that are clearly sour that we call sweet, and a lot of things that are clearly sweet that are called sour. Sometimes they'll use words like old-fashioned. That's old-fashioned. Listen, what we need is a lot of that good old biblically old-fashioned. Give me that, that isn't a hymn, we don't sing it, but I like it. Give me that old-time religion, it's good enough for me. Remember an old movie? Sergeant York, I believe it was, that has that hymn part of it. And the change that took me, you see a new birth experience in that movie. I don't know whether it was accurate or whatever. I know I enjoyed it when first time I saw it, I liked the part where you shoot the turkeys. The second time I saw it, I liked the part where the Lord struck him down in his life and made that man that was at one time so mean, other people hid from him, become someone that would go and apologize to people that thought, what in the world happened to him? I'm saying to you, brethren, when the Lord works in your life, you're changed. You're changed on the inside out. Religion can change you on the outside and do nothing for the inside. Makes you a Pharisee. Makes you high-minded and heady and puffed up. And where you look down on others. True religion, that makes that heart contrite and broken, where you feel there's nobody as bad off as me, and if anybody's been a recipient of His grace, it's me, and what I used to do, I don't want to do anymore. I want to live better. Oh, I still do some of those things and walk in those things, but I don't do it like I used to because there's a change that's taking place. I didn't do it. I didn't work it. He struck me down. Maybe it wasn't with a lightning bolt, but it was just that real. And if you've experienced that hope that's in you, then you want to walk better today. You come to church so I can learn how to do better. I want to be reminded again. I haven't been thinking right this week. I haven't been as thankful as I ought to be this week. Any of you not been as thankful as you ought to be this week? Any of you gone this week and forgot to thank the Lord for a blessing? Are any of you like me and maybe complained about some things that have been the greatest blessings in your life? And if the Lord would deal with us according to what we would deserve, we'd be in a mess this morning, wouldn't we? But I'm telling you, His grace has made such a difference. He's touched me, and now nothing is the same. And I have this hope in me. I got a hope. I hope I belong to Him. I hope when He comes, and He's coming, and He's shouting the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, that I'll be gathered with those on His right hand. I hope I'm among the sheep, rather than those where I would deserve to be by nature, that are left on the left to be cast away into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And somebody said, is that a real place? Absolutely. The wages of sin is death, and it's everlasting death. And if Gary got what he deserved, and any of you, any of men, man, woman, boy, or girl, got what we deserve, what are we? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death, and there would be no hope for us. But because of his love and his choice and his work, his children will not be on his left, but they'll be on his right, and he'll say, come, ye blessed of my Father, and heard the kingdom prepared for you. Where? When? From the foundation of the world. God doesn't say, oh, I'm surprised you got here when one little child of God gets home. He's got a place prepared for him. You believe that? I believe that. I don't believe they surprise him at all. I believe they come home when he calls them. I believe he has a place there for them. And for them, it's better. For me to live is Christ, Paul said, and to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And in heaven today, there are spirits of God's little children and the soul of God's little children present. And there's a couple, Enoch and Elijah, that we know are bodily there to show that one day he's going to have a bodily resurrection. And we're all going to be body, soul, and spirit with the Lord forevermore. But until that time, I need today in this world, right now, this moment, this hour, for this coming week, I need fellowship with the one I have relationship with. And I didn't make the relationship, but I have a part to do in the fellowship because I need to seek his face. So do you. You ever gone a while thinking, well, I think I can get along on my own here, Lord. I'll call on you if I need you, but I'm going to handle this. And you don't really say that, but you act like that. I'm going to handle this one. You know, I can take this one on. I'm okay with this. Gotcha. I'll call on you if I need you. I'm telling you when you need him. You need him now. You'll need him the next second and the next second and every second. And he's there. He's everywhere. He's not like you. When my wife's not around, I miss her. But I'll tell you, she's going to be at some point not around. That's just going to be the way it is. And I'm going to be the same way. But there's a Father who is with you always. He's with you at all times, everywhere you go, whoever you are. If you belong to him, he is your Father. He is your elder brother in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the Spirit. It's taking up his abode in your life. And he is with you all the time. And when you need something and you are in trouble in this old world, which is all the time, you have a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And when you and I walk in this world not aware of that, we're missing not relationship, but we're missing fellowship. See the difference? Fellowship. I want fellowship. Sweet fellowship with God. I tell you, when I'm having fellowship with him, I'm happy. I'm a happy boy when I feel fellowship with my Lord. It doesn't matter what problem comes. It's all right. David looked at the giant and said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine? The rest of the army quaked. You know why? Because David knew he had fellowship with the one who was able to slay that giant with no trouble at all. He understood that. The rest of them had the same. He was the Lord of the nation of Israel. And they all had that same position of his chosen people in a natural way. They all had that position and the same access. But David trusted, didn't he? He trusted and depended upon the one whom he had relationship with. He didn't choose to have the relationship. The Lord chose him. But I'm telling you, he trusted in him. And by the way, God worked that in him as well. The thing is, God's given us faith, hasn't he? To be able to believe, we ought to believe. He's given us love to be able to love one another with. We ought to love one another. He's given us joy. We ought to be living that joy. He's given us peace. Have you got peace in your heart today? I tell you, when you hear the gospel, it gives you peace, doesn't it? Oh, the Lord's going to be with me all the way through my life until I leave this old world. And when I die, he's going to carry me home to be with him. And he knows when that time is. And he knows everything I'm going to face between here and there. And if I trust in him and lean upon him, and this is his commandment, to trust his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and love the brethren. And if you do that, you kept the commandments. The New Testament commandments. Listen. It's a joy to have fellowship with the Lord. He says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now that can kind of shake you if you're reading that without rightly dividing. We don't want to get our knife and cut a piece off of this. We want it to be rightly divided and understood. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. We've read over in the first chapter, and this is really good because John has already laid out the foundation for the verses that he came along and gave us later, as the Bible does, and he says this. I just want to read these because this is good. In case someone ever gets the idea, that means once you're born as, and there are people who believe that, once you're born of the Spirit of God, you're truly His child, you quit sinning. I don't sin anymore. There are men and women who have the boldness to tell you, I quit sinning. I stopped. I used to sin, but I don't sin anymore. And there's a whole lot, many times, and I believe many of them, I don't know the hearts of anybody, but I believe many of them, from the evidence I see, are God's children, belong to the Lord. But they're very, very much confused, and I believe very unhappy. I believe they do not have, they may have relationship, but they are not enjoying fellowship. God's children can be confused, doctrinally. They can be confused. He says this. I love it because he tells us why he's even talking to us. He tells us in verse 3, because we're the brethren, he's talking to us. Verse 3 of the first chapter of 1 John. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Brethren, I want us to understand that sin is not something you and I ought to say doesn't matter. But sin is something you and I will have to battle all the time we're here in this world until we leave here in this old world. We ought to be fighting the fight. We're not believing in a licentious doctrine that says it doesn't matter how you live and act and talk, because he that's truly born of the Spirit of God has this hope in him, and he purifieth himself even as he is pure, which means his desire is to live better and act better and talk better, and he wants to be better, not in order to become a child of God, but because of the sweet hope in his heart that he is. And yet we have another scripture here that tells us you'll never completely escape sin until one day we leave this world. Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, give unto us this day our daily bread, right? Sounds like everyday prayer, doesn't it? And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us what? Our trespasses. How often do we pray then? Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. That sounds like we're not asking for tomorrow's bread. We're asking for today's bread. That means tomorrow I'm going to have to pray the same prayer again. He's not telling us just to repeat a prayer and to say those words. He even tells us in one place to avoid vain repetitions. But he's saying, this is how you pray. Teach us to pray. These are the things you include in prayer. We include in prayer an admonition to God to give us our daily bread, don't we? Because we know, I need food for today. I don't need food for tomorrow until tomorrow comes. I thank the Lord for yesterday's blessings, but the food for today, give us this day our daily bread. I need it for today. And forgive us our trespasses, which means every day we what? We trespass. Now, somebody said that's the Lord's Prayer. I love the brethren who first pointed this out. He said the Lord never had to pray that prayer. It's not His prayer. He's just teaching us how to pray, because He never had to say, forgive us our trespasses. Isn't that wonderful? We got a Savior who never trespassed. Never broke the law. Never transgressed God's law. He kept the commandments to a jot and to a tittle. And that's why He was a perfect sacrifice and stood in our room instead and washed us in His own blood, and His blood was worthy to wash us. But if it was left up to us after He had saved us and washed us to keep ourselves clean, I'm telling you, you and I would be in as much trouble as we were ever in, because His blood was sufficient to cleanse us from all of our sins, present, past, and future. And every day we come and say, Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He goes on. He writes these things to us that our joy might be full. I want your joy to be full today. And I'll tell you what makes God's children joyful is when they realize their relationship is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and salvation is in His hands, not in our hands. And the glory for that belongs to the Lord, not to me. And it's not me who's keeping you, and it's not you who's keeping me, and it's not us who's keeping ourselves, but the Lord who created us and made us is also the one who keeps us. And there's absolutely nothing that can pluck you out of His Father's hands or out of His hands, and you were put in His hands by His sovereign choice even before the very foundation of the world. Nothing can break your relationship. But I'm telling you, when you can't feel His presence, this old world is a cold, dark place. And an hour can seem like an eternity, can't it? You get out in this old world, live like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, be a little child of grace. Somebody said, can you do that? Many are. But I'm telling you what they are. They're sick. They're troubled. They're not happy. The world's happy around them, but they can't get happy. They can't find enough party to make them happy. They can't find... Have you gotten there? In other words, they can't find enough good time in this world to make them happy, because when they go to the good times of this world, their heart and their conscience and the Spirit of God in them allows them to say, you're not... This is not you. This isn't where you belong. This isn't... You are my child. You belong to me. And you're not going to be happy. You can walk that way. He will suffer you to walk that way to a point. Now, there's a point that He says, that's it. And He doesn't cut you off eternally, but He may take you out of this world. Listen, His little children are going to be chastened by Him, and in some cases severely chastened. We see it again and again. David committed a horrible sin, a man after the Lord's own heart. He went and took another man's wife, and he desired her and had her and tried to cover it up, and did murder one who was one of His faithful men. And such a grievous thing. You say, well, could a child of God do that? The Bible says David, that's the same David that slew Goliath, was a man after the Lord's own heart, but he wasn't in that action, was he? He was after the flesh. And he got in the flesh, and I'll tell you, did he lose his relationship with the Lord? Did he lose his salvation? No. But I'll tell you what he lost. He lost his joy, and he lost his rest, and he lost his peace. He lost his happiness. He wasn't able just to get by with it either, because the Lord sent a prophet to him and told him exactly. Even the lesson that He gave Nathan to give to David. David, when he heard the lesson said, David said, oh, just show me the man that would do such a thing. And what's going to happen to him is going to be really bad. And oh, David heard those words from Nathan. You know how they must have stung. Have you felt them? You know, I've told this before, but I've been sitting sometimes listening to a good preacher preach and thinking, boy, I sure hope so-and-so's listening to this, because he's really hitting the points for them. He's really giving it to them. They need this. Or look around and say, oh, sure, wish so-and-so was here today, because they could use this sermon. That was good. This would be good for them. And hear those words come right to me. Thou art the man. Listen, it ain't for him. It's for you. I need this. This lesson I need. I need His fellowship today. I need to abide in Him and enjoy the life He's given me. I need to fall after Him. I have an old nature that's in me that's prone to wander and bent for backsliding. But thanks be to God, I delight in the law of God, don't you? After the inward man, I delight to follow His will. But I have an old nature, an old man that I need to put off and keep under subjection and crucify and mortify, as the Scripture tells me, and put him down, because if not, it'll destroy my fellowship with the one I have relationship with. And I may even get to the point where I wonder, am I His or am I not? And I've been there. And I love to find some of God's little children in that place, because then you can tell them about a love that's unconditional, that doesn't leave because you've done wrong. He still loves you. Though you ought to respond better and talk better and act better. And we all ought to, oughtn't we? All of us ought to. I ought to live better because of what he's done for me. I ought to love my wife better because of how he's shown me how to love. I ought to love my fellow man and those I come in contact with. I certainly ought to love the brethren. And if they have need, I ought to do what they need because of how much he's shown me how to love that. How good has he been to you? And what of it have you deserved? Listen, we look sometimes at this world and think, those people don't deserve that. Well, no, they don't, and you don't. And yet God has shown you how to love different than just giving somebody what they deserve. Somebody said, I'd like to give my husband, I'd like to give my wife what he or she deserves. I'd like to be able to give that. You don't have a clue, do you? Because if God dealt with us according to what we deserve, what a mess we'd be in. When we're able to do what the Lord has shown us to do out of a complete obedience to Him and no other reason. What a blessing it is to have sweet fellowship with Him. I'm running out of time with this passage, and that's okay. These things we write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you. This is verse 5, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That means if I say I'm doing what God would have me to do and it's not the right thing, I can't. God didn't lead me to do that. That didn't come from the Lord. If I said the Lord told me I ought to do this. And there are men standing up today saying God told me to do this and God told me to do that. And if His word is contrary to that, let me tell you, they might have heard a voice, but it wasn't His voice. They might have followed the Spirit, but it wasn't His Spirit. They may be following somebody who says this is the Lord, but it's not Him. You're to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. There are many people who think they're serving the Lord today and they're following the deceiver, and they're following false prophets and false teachers, and they think they're having happiness, but if they really belong to the Lord, they're not going to have any peace in that part. They'll not have any joy, not real joy. All sin has its pleasure for the moment, doesn't it? For the moment, you know, you can have a good time for the moment, you get real happy until you get heart sick. Don't you get heart sick? I've been mad sometimes, a lot of times in my life. I get real mad at somebody and just tell them off. Y'all never do that. I do that sometimes. Should never do it. I'm not justifying it. I'll tell you, when I do it though, I go away and I think, boy, I really told them what they deserve. And then I start thinking, oh my. And doesn't long, just invariably anymore, it isn't long, I got to go right back to that same person and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have done it. And it isn't because I feel like I owe it to them. It's He troubles me in my heart. And I got to have some peace. You know how you find peace? You go just what the Scripture says. This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. That is in a timely application where you feel the cleansing effect of the Lord's blood in your life. Now listen, your sins have been washed away already. As far as the east is from the west, they've been removed. Never to be remembered against you anymore. But in the court of our conscience, in our minds and in our hearts, we need to hear and feel His forgiveness, don't we? And if we don't go and say, Lord, forgive me, you may not feel that forgiveness that you have in Him. But when you go, it's just like when you go to somebody and you say, forgive me, it's settled. It's like a weight comes off your shoulder. If you've got aught against a brother today or a sister, you go to them and say, forgive me, and you'll feel better. You'll have a peace. And somebody say, well, what if they don't forgive you? That's on them. You say, forgive me. Don't just say it in a haphazard way, but from your heart, by the grace of God, and only the Lord. Somebody said, well, I just can't do that. No, your old nature can't do it. And as long as you're trusting in your old nature, you'll never do it. We don't have the power in our nature to do what God would have us to do. Our nature will not please God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And to be carnal minded is death. That's what the Scripture says in the Roman letter. So if I operate in the flesh today, can we operate today as God's little children in the flesh? That's where sin comes from. When we operate in the Spirit, We act different. We talk different. And we behave differently. And if you have that hope in you, you have an inward desire already. I can't give that to you. That comes from the Lord. I can't take it away either. There's sometimes folks want preachers to take that away. They'll come and say something like, you know, is it okay for me to do that? Like, if I can get your stamp of approval, I won't have any trouble. You know how that happens sometimes. Sometimes I'll call a brother up and say, hey, brother, you know, could I do that? Like, if he could just give me, is it okay for me to do that? And he could give me the stamp of approval. Is it okay for me not to go over there? I'm pretty tired. Won't it be all right for me to stay home? And sometimes I say, yeah, it'll be okay. You go right ahead. But if the Lord's led you in your heart, it doesn't matter how many of them stamp it. You still got trouble, don't you? Brethren, I'm really out of time, and you've been so very patient, but I got to finish one thing. I can't leave this too hanging too much. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Do you hear what that says? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So if anybody says, I have no sin, what's the Bible say? And that didn't say used to have. It says we have never. It didn't say if we say we've not sinned in the past. It says if we say today, really this is present tense. If we say that we have no sin, not had, but have no sin, we what? We deceive ourselves, and what? The truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, which we need to do, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Notice it isn't so you can just go on and sin any way you want to. But it says, we write this that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation, which literally means our mercy seat, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So it says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. That means when you and I are close to Him, and when we're walking with Him, and when we're abiding in Him, and when I'm looking to Him for what to say, and I'm looking for Him for what to do, and I'm walking in fellowship with Him, in communion with Him, I will walk in that sense. When He tells me what to do, it will not be sinful. There will be nothing He leads me to do that's wrong. Where He leads you, you can follow. When you speak when He would have you speak, you'll not speak in error. When you do what He would have you to do, you'll not do anything wrong. You'll be without sin. And when as God's little children walk righteously in this world, when they walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. Whosoever sinneth had not seen Him, neither known Him. That means when you and I go in a course contrary to where He would have us to go, we're not following Him. And when we're sinning, we're not following Him. When I walk contrary to what He would have me to do, not that I won't do it, but when I walk contrary to what He would have me to do, I'm not at that point and at that time abiding in Him. I'm not trusting and leaning in Him. I got a lot more to say, and maybe if the Lord will bless us, we'll do that some other time. But we'll leave that in the Lord's hands and by His leadership. I know we've left a lot of verses hanging. Probably a lot of good conversations going to happen. If it does, that'll be great. And as the Lord leads and directs. I do appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, please remember me, and God bless you. Love you, my brother. You pray for me.